The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, I'm not sure you're with me. I'm being gesticulated to by our producer that, in fact, that is not the case. So while we wait for Rolene, there's an issue that I wanted to raise with you this afternoon, and this is the fact that certain things should just not be politicized. Really, some things should just be... almost want to use the word holy, but just don't muck things up with politics. And the Israelis appear to be one step away from making a monumental mistake. It seems to me that they are about to politicize the chair of Yad Vashem Museum in Jerusalem. For those of you who don't know, Yad Vashem is the Holocaust Museum. It is a museum of international importance from an educational perspective, and the Israelis are about to put in a rabid right-winger called Effie Etam, and we are going to chat about that after we speak to Rolene Marks. Rolene, are you with us? Good afternoon to you.
I am with you. Let's get into it because we've got a lot to cover.
Where's your prime minister is the first question.
Well, where? Well, he's back in Israel, but where
is
was he?
Did he go to Saudi or didn't he? Yeah.
Well, this is a fascinating situation because, we had it confirmed earlier today by multiple sources across the Israeli media and even to the Wall Street Journal, which is a very, very reputable news source, that the Prime Minister had gone to Saudi with the head of the Mossad as well as U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to meet with the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Now, what is very interesting is during the course of the day, that has been denied by the Saudi Foreign Yes. Minister. But only after the contents of the meeting were revealed, and Prime Minister Netanyahu, when he was quizzed about whether or not he went, he said, "I haven't commented on such things, and I won't start now." But it's really a very interesting development indeed. Was it something that was meant to be top secret, and some overzealous officials, including Saudi officials, leaked it out? Was this done on purpose, or is it still in a very, very tentative stage? What we do know from this meeting, what was talked about, was Iran. Of course, Iran poses a great threat to all of us in the region, and this is something that the Saudis, as well as Israel, will want the incoming Biden administration to be very, very aware of, that this is not the same Middle East that, he dealt with during the Obama administration, and that Iran's hegemony is growing, and we need to do everything in our power to stop that. But also the issue of normalization. Now, there has been no confirmation that any normalization treaties will be taking place. And to be quite honest, I don't expect them to. I participated yesterday in a fascinating webinar, Women in Media, with regards to the UAE and Israel. We had very, very interesting, very open discussions about what the Biden administration could mean and which countries could possibly normalize next. And the general consensus is that nobody's going to normalize until they see the results and the benefits for the countries that already have. But just to quote Netanyahu on the alleged trip, which is maybe not so alleged, he said in his address to cabinet today, he says, "For years I have not commented on such things and I won't start now. For years I have not spared any effort to strengthen Israel and widen the circle of peace." So in other words, I'm not going to say if I did or I didn't, but I did do everything in my power to widen the circle of peace.
Okay. Now, I must say, I'm finding the doublespeak of the Saudis just a little bit. It's not working so well anymore. Pick a side now.
Oh, well, you also have to, you have to remember that, this, it's regional language. It's a language that, participants or members or citizens of this region understand all too well. And I think this is what we always have to be cognizant of. You know, we look at Israel very often as a Western country and yeah. judge Israel and expect Israel to behave and to make decisions based on Western parameters. And while a lot of Israel is very, very Western, we also have to remember that Israel is very much Middle Eastern, and the rules of engagement and the rules of conversation and rapprochement in the Middle East are very different to how they happen in Europe or in the United States or in other parts of the world. So it's something always to be cognizant of, but we do have it from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo that it was a very constructive meeting. So quite a fascinating turn of events, I have to say.
That was a beautiful segue into the Secretary of State discussion, because who is Biden going to pick?
Well, he is rumored to be picking Blinken. Yeah, because I can't believe I forgot that for a second, because I segued right there into Mel Brooks' Men in Tights and went, hey, Blinken. But anyway, anyone who's seen the movie would have seen where I went with that. But a very interesting pick for potential Secretary of State. It's not confirmed yet, although if Rashida Tlaib had her way, she's already taken a stab at him. So who is he? He is, he's got impeccable foreign policy credentials. He served as a deputy during the Obama administration. He's already got the tick of approval from the World Jewish Congress, you know, if that means anything. But he is Jewish, and he is the stepson of a Holocaust survivor. But just in case we were wondering where Rashida Tlaib stands on this, she tweeted out today, very, very controversial, especially since she is going to be sitting on a panel on anti-Semitism. Seriously, guys, you cannot make this stuff up. And she said, so long as he doesn't suppress my First Amendment right to speak out against Netanyahu's racist and inhumane policies, the Palestinian people deserve equality and justice. Now, she's obviously alluding to the fact that last week Pompeo made the very, very big statement that they will start to regard BDS and deal with the immediate effect with BDS as an anti-Semitic entity. This follows Austria and Germany, because I think it's very important that we remember Austria and Germany were the first two countries to declare BDS anti-Semitic. And also she's, and it's absolutely ironic that she's sitting on this panel on anti-Semitism. Maybe it's because she's such an epic anti-Semite, but this double speak of dual loyalty in that comment is so glaringly obvious. And, you know, at this time, we would just like to remind Ms. Tlaib that she serves the constituents of her constituency in America and not in Ramallah. Or maybe she does. I don't know.
I must say, the fact that it is her on an anti-Semitic panel just leaves me speechless. I don't know what to say.
Well, let's look at the rest of the panel. This is a panel, it's called Dismantling Anti-Semitism, Winning Justice. It's hosted by Jewish Voice for Peace, which are so far left, you know, off the spectrum. But it includes Rashida Tlaib, Peter Baynard, who has really raised the ire of many when he came out with his one state solution article just a couple of months ago. Very, very controversial. Mark Clement Hill, who has also made comments that have been found to be extremely, extremely anti-Semitic and anti-Israel. And Barbara Ransby, another one who's also made these kind of statements. So unless the panel is about learn about anti-Semitism from some arch anti-Semites, you know, it's resulted in a lot of outrage by people saying, seriously, you cannot make this up. This is a huge cause for concern. And this is something that if you work in any kind of social justice or working against any kind of discrimination, you need to be very, very aware of.
Roland Marx, can't sound surprised that we ran out of time today. Not for one moment am I surprised. So let's talk about anti-Semitism. Let's talk about rockets and Corona tomorrow. And again, thank you for your input this afternoon and for telling us where Bibi was.
Well, now you know, or maybe don't know where he was.
Certainly is interesting. Your part of the world is never dull, never boring, that is for sure. Rolene, cheers and thank you.
See you tomorrow.